Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Time to talk some opening day baseball. Guardians and A's tonight right here on WHBC, 10:07 first pitch. Shane Bieber against Alex Wood. And to preview tonight's game, the 2024 season, we welcome back to the show a Vandy Dandy, a former Guardians closer. It was the Indians back then. Now he's a multi-Emmy Award-winning analyst for the Guardians. Jensen Lewis joining us on the Kenny and JT Show. How are you, J-Lou?
Happy New Year, boys. Excited to be with you. We get a little sleepover series to start the year, but let's get it going. Can't wait.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go tonight. And J-Lou, I'm not optimistic about this year, but could there have been a better team to start this season with so many young players and a brand-new manager than opening up with the worst team in baseball last year, the Oakland A's?
It'll be an intriguing environment for sure, you know, Roadman, because the backdrop of possibly – the A's playing their final home opener in Oakland at the Coliseum with the impending move to Las Vegas. And we'll see where they end up playing those games, if not in Oakland, in, you know, some minor league stadium, perhaps as early as 2025. But you mentioned it with a three-city road trip to start on the West Coast and kind of get that leg out of the way early actually might be an advantage for this group, because they're on that time zone, having been out in Arizona on that kind of routine for where the body clock is. So with the way Shane's looked so far in camp and with a lineup that he can really sink his teeth into, you hope that the Guardians offense can get out on Alex Wood really quickly and be able to give Bees a little bit of a cushion tonight.
That's so interesting, too. And you talk about a lame duck team like the A's and what must be going through the fans' minds. Jensen, I want to take you back to when you played, though, as we get ready to talk more about this year's team. When you break camp, and your first year up, you're called up in July. I looked it up. But when you break camp, and you're an Ohio guy, what goes through a young player's mind? I mean, you got to come back to town. What, find an apartment? Did you have a house? How does this work out?
Yeah, JT, it was a dream come true, you know, to get called up in 07 and have that magical run in the postseason. And then, you know, my first big league camp was actually there in that final year in Winter Haven in 2008. Okay. And, you know, Eric Wedge and Mark Shapiro pulled me in the office before camp started and said, you know, as long as you do your thing, you've got a spot on the team. And it's a different way of going about your camp when you know you're on the team versus when you're fighting for a spot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I kind of had my eye on a place that I already knew I wanted to stay. So I got most of those logistics pretty much done by the middle of spring training. So basically all we had to do is land and pick up my keys and basically move in, if you will. But that one was also pretty ridiculous too, because it's the only season where my first game of the year was also the home opener. And it was really neat to see that first day of the season with so much hype, so much optimism. I think it's such a unique opportunity. We don't see it a lot anymore with some of the colder weather teams. And, you know, usually we get shipped south or shipped west to get it started. But make no mistake about it, guys, it's a day you always remember, your first major league opening day, regardless of where it is.
There's nothing like baseball, especially on opening day. How did you handle family and friend ticket requests? You're a Cincinnati guy.
Well, most of my family's from Medina, so you know, that was more handling. You know, was I playing the series for free just because of the home opener tickets, what they would cost? But no, that's a great problem to have, and really was fortunate, not only my immediate family, but a bunch of extended family, you know, friends from high school and college, and just one of those unique experiences. So you try and get most of it handled on that off day so that when you come in for that first day of the season, it's down to brass tacks and just worrying about going out and playing.
So that's the perspective from a former player on opening day and maybe your first opening day. What must be going through the mind of Stephen Vogt tonight in his first opening day as a manager at any level and against a team that he once played for?
Yeah, it's going to feel, Roadman, like his big league debut. I mean, just the nerves and, you know, the backdrop, too, there, as you mentioned, of a place that, yeah, he really called home and became a fan favorite and so many great memories, including, you know, that final at bat where he homered after his kids introduced him coming to the plate. You know, just one of those surreal feelings of going back to a place where you had so much success. So that's one part of it. The other part is, hey, these games count now. So every decision that he makes in game, you know, lineup construction to start, what's he going to plan out for the bullpen, and the speed of how those decisions get upon him. I think that's what I'm most intrigued about, not only tonight, guys, but also through that first month of April. I think we need to give him some time to just get through the day-to-day on those in-game calls, because let's face it, it's hard for an experienced manager sometimes when the game speeds up on you, let alone a guy that's going to be doing it as a manager for the very first time, and that being at the big league level.
All right, Jensen, I want to ask you about this 2024 rendition of the Cleveland Guardians. I did my pros and cons list, right? Six good things I found about the Guardians in 2024, 12 bad things I found about the Guardians in 2024. So let's start with the good. What can fans look forward to as far as positive things that maybe gives them a chance in the worst division in baseball, the Central Division in the American League?
Yeah, I think, Roadman, the first two things that jump out are a healthy Shane Bieber and a healthy Tristan McKenzie. And if this team's going anywhere, then the health of both of those guys is paramount. They've got to be able to get at least 25, if not 30 starts this year and be really effective when they're out there for at least two-thirds of the time. I think on the lineup side, when you see what Stephen Kwan came in like and Andre Jimenez, Jose Ramirez swinging the bat that they have, you know, with Josh Naylor and now Bo Naylor are going to be the starting catcher day in and day out, I think you're encouraged by the top of the lineup. I think also Scott Barlow is going to be an acquisition now even more amplified that we won't have Trevor Stephan for the entirety of the 2024 season. We've seen him plenty of times when he was with Kansas City. You know, he's an important guy that's going to get leverage opportunities right out of the gate. He'll be essential to the success of this bullpen that all of a sudden is a little bit more a question mark without Stephan, without Sam Henches to start the year, no James Karinchak. So those guys now will have some focal points to have to address. And then I think the bottom of the rotation, you just never know when you're going to have to jump into your starting rotation depth. And the fact that this organization has been so great at developing young, impactful starting pitching, for Tanner Bibee to finish runner-up and rookie of the year, it won't surprise me, and I don't think it's a reach whatsoever, that if he gets off to a great start, he'll be in that Cy Young conversation again. It's that sophomore year, though. The league will adjust to him. How will he adjust to the entirety of the league? I think Logan Allen will be in great shape. And my former teammate, guys, remember seeing him on day one when it was Carlos Carrasco 15, 16 years ago, to see him, you know, get that final rotation spot with Gavin Williams being on the shelf to start. The sage veteran now, the old man in the clubhouse, to see what kind of optimism and energy he'll bring. I think that'll be great for this group.
It is a great story, too, because when they first brought him back, I thought, okay, this is a feel-good story, but he really makes it. I mean, whether it's injury or not, he makes the team, right?
Well, I think so. Whether it's a long man, and depending on how they really discern if they wanted Tyler Beede, no matter what, as a fifth starter or a swing man or a long man, you know, you knew the pedigree of where Carlos has been, not only within the organization, but the person as well. And a lot of this comes down to results and what you can trust, not only from the back of the baseball card, but what you're seeing in front of you. So good job out of Los to continue to press forward. And I think Tyler Beede is going to be impactful too, guys. Fellow Vandy boy, pretty well traveled at this point in his young career, but a sensational spring for him. And I think a guy that could make an impact right away.
Yeah, that had to really suck going to school in Nashville, right? No fun down there at all.
There's no fun whatsoever. We were hard at work in the library.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Was that the name of a bar on the main drag down there, the library?
Yeah. They had extended office hours for sure.
It's outstanding. Hey, Jensen, I want to ask you about the outfield, especially Miles Straw. And we don't even know who we're going to have everyday center fielder or right fielder. Is it going to be platoon action all the time? And were you surprised with Miles Straw being sent back down to Columbus, basically?
You know, JT, this is always difficult for, you know, a guy that we know the offensive struggles, certainly last year. And the dichotomy of that is he actually swung the bat quite well in spring training at times. And, you know, I think this is simply trying to take your heart out of it. And the organization and the front office are really good about using their head on these sorts of things. Now, will he be back this year? That's going to be on the player to force his way back up and get back on the 40 man. That being said, I think it behooves him to really be not only a standout leader down there for the guys in AAA, but really understand how critical it is to appreciate being in the big leagues when you're there. Because anybody who has started there and has had to go back down, it's no fun, guys. Trust me, I was there in 08, 09, and 2010, having to ride the shuttle back and forth. You really appreciate even more so when you get that opportunity to go back up, because you've got to force your way there or someone's got to get hurt. Those things can be really long in duration between opportunities. So I think for him and really just kind of a 30,000-foot look at the outfield, let's see what happens with Ramon Laureano. Let's see what happens with Tyler Freeman, converted now from the infield to the outfield. And, you know, Will Brennan's going to have to be impactful too at the bottom of this lineup, guys. Make no mistake about it. They've got to hit the ball out of the ballpark if they want to get to October and go deep into October. There's just no getting around it with the parity of where the American League is this year. You can make an argument for 6, 7, maybe even 8 teams that legitimately have a shot to go deep and get to the World Series.
Here's the thing that bothers me, Jensen Lewis, as the fan, not the media member, okay, the fan. This is a very winnable division. The Minnesota Twins are the favorites, and I saw you pick them to win the division. So did I, right? They're the favorites. But this is a very winnable division based on your pitching, right? And the other teams, two teams lost 100 games last year that are still in the division that you get to play 13 times each. And they did absolutely nothing to address what you just talked about, and that's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Their biggest free agent signing with a bat was Austin Hedges, who can't spell the Mendoza line, let alone hit over it, okay? How are they going to hit the ball out of the ballpark? How are they going to hit or score enough runs to contend in this division?
Yeah, honestly, Roadman, I think they probably looked at it internally and said, we've got guys like a Kyle Manzardo, we've got guys like a Chase DeLauder who had two sensational springs in their own right, and I think they wanted to try and give Davison De Los Santos as much run as possible in spring training to see if that power would translate, albeit such a Herculean ask for a kid that has literally not played above double A. So I think that got exposed a bit. And so you send him back now with him not making the opening day roster. I know that some of the outlying issues with a payroll concerning, you know, what happens league wide with RSN issues. You know, there are teams all across the country that had to deal with that. But that being said, I think ultimately it was about being internal and seeing what they had on the precipice of coming up. You think about, you know, guys like Brito. You wish George Valera was healthy. I mean, Johnny Rodriguez, you know, Mackenzie Noel. I mean, I think they feel that they would rather give some of this upper echelon talent a shot instead of them being sort of in a holding pattern if you brought someone in at a salary that would have to justify, hey, we went out and paid this guy. Even if he's struggling, we got to stay with him because we're paying him all the money. So, again, no easy answer to that question, Roadman. But if I'm a betting man on where they were, I think they felt internally, we still have some guys we want to finish off here maybe for the first month of the season. And then when we bring them up, we feel that our fix is going to be with those guys rather than on the free agent side.
Is it fair to say they expect the Naylor brothers to combine for at least 40 home runs this year?
I would think that is a very realistic goal, Roadman. I ranked Bo Naylor as my number 10 overall catcher for MLB Network Radio when we did our top 10 list this year. I think he's primed for a really big season. I think the game started to slow down a bit more for him towards the end of last year, both on a defensive side and at the plate. I think his spring, I saw enough there to kind of validate that thought. And now it's just going out and doing it in regular season games. I don't think he has to worry now about looking over his shoulder. He knows he's the guy. You know, Hedgie's going to be in there from a time or two just to give him a blow and perhaps, you know, be a catcher there for Biebs or you know, however they want to work it out. Either way, you're right. The Naylor brothers, Andreas Jimenez, those guys, and, of course, with Jose, they all, I mean, if between the four of those you could get 80 homers, now we're in right. business here a little bit because you'd have to believe once Manzardo comes up that he's going to be in that echelon, maybe not in the 20 category with the amount of time in ABs he'll get. But I think those four have to get at least 80 among themselves if this team has any chance to compete.
Former Indians pitcher, current baseball analyst, Jensen Lewis joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show. And Jay Lou, for people out there that love seeing you on the Bally's, you know, broadcast and that, but you do other things, like you said, with MLB Network podcasts out there. Tell them where they can find you for more baseball talk.
Yeah, it's exciting. Actually, this coming Wednesday, I'll make my first appearance on High Heat on MLB Network. You'll be able to see me there throughout the year, a handful of times each month with Alana Rizzo. 11 a.m. Eastern there on, as I said, on MLB Network, obviously a bunch on the radio too, on the Sirius XM side. Yeah, just actually was in kind of your neck of the woods or a few weeks ago and just jumping around to some local high schools in the area, just talking with kids and student athletes about next steps in their young lives, what to expect after high school and looking forward to continuing their athletic careers in college and beyond. So, 0-100 today, boys. I'm not available for a Friday dinner until November, hopefully. It's a great job. I'm fortunate to do it. And if you were to tell me that, hey, you'd be entering your 12th year on the media side already before I turned 40, I would have said either I really wasn't good at the playing side or I must be pretty good at this side. So it's a treat to be with you guys as colleagues and to be, you know, working this great game and, again, getting going tonight.
How'd you enjoy your speaking engagement at the Pro Football Hall of Fame luncheon?
Wonderful. Always great to be with those people. Crazy to think. I want to say it's my fourth or fifth time already. And as I said, Roadman and JT, they are my toughest group because there is no filter when they ask their questions. It's a route.
Where we get it from, kid.
They get right to it. And I have to come prepared, notes and all sometimes. And do some study guides before I get in there because you can't leave there without you know knowing where you stand. There's such a great audience. You know, R.J. Allman and the entire group over there, they do such a fantastic job. Always love coming back there, especially when it happens right before the regular season gets underway. So I'm looking forward to doing it again next year.
Makes it so tough because, you know, as fans here in Northeast Ohio, we're frustrated. I mean, with the exception of the 2016 LeBron right. James team and the Buckeyes, if you're an Ohio State fan, the only two things that we can count on a yearly basis is the fact that one of those teams is going to really challenge for at least a championship or postseason play. And we used to be able to say that about the Indians and then Guardians. Cavaliers were frustrated. They play up and down to the level of the competition, as did the Guardians occasionally last year. So, I mean, obviously, you guys talk about home runs and everything else. I want to ask you a little bit about some of the moves that the Guardians did make that don't seem to be panning off. I mean, I'm going to be haunted for the rest of my life if Nolan Jones has any success in Colorado because we traded him for Juan Brito. Brian just gave me the rundown of the opening day roster, didn't make the roster. To me, that's a bad deal. What do you think?
Yeah, I look at a couple of deals. You know, you guys can all go back to even Yandy Diaz, right?
Absolutely. There's another one. Thank you.
Yeah, that one was tough. And I think just with the way that Yandy swings the bat, it's tough to see him with all the success down there. But again, he took the opportunity, went with it, and now is a stalwart there for the Rays. I think the other one, too, is Yiner Diaz. And, you know, maybe a byproduct, too, of Bo Naylor being the guy that they were really looking at as the heir apparent. But Yiner Diaz, now your starting catcher in Houston, and he was in that Miles Straw trade, too. So, you know, one of those things where you look back and say, okay, there are some tough ones. But, you know, glass half full, guys, if you look on the flip side, you flip the Corey Kluber for Emmanuel Clase, yeah. who right now is the best pitcher, or at least the best closer in baseball. And there's been some other, you know, shrewd moves that they've been able to make. I think for us, the Nolan Jones one might sting a bit more, just because you wish that he could have gotten more opportunities on a week-to-week basis. You know, that also coincided, if you remember, with Oscar Gonzalez really swinging mm-hmm. a hot bat. So this is the nature of the game. I mean, Will Benson's down in Cincinnati right now with injuries. He's going to be in their opening day lineup. So it's not just with the Guardians. It's every team can kind of look up and down and say, dang, wish we had that one back. You know, so again, this is really the importance of minor league development, and knowing that if you can basically do it from within, and you don't have to depend on the outside, you give yourself a heck of a lot more room for error.
Well, gentlemen, why does it seem that they can develop young and good pitching and seemingly miss all that? I mean, even though Miles Straw at least won you, what, 2 gold gloves? You kind of missed on it now, right?
Well, and remember, Phil Maton was the guy that beat that over to Houston. He was so critical in their runs in the postseason into the World Series. I think for where we are now, though, I would say that the last couple of years, and again, pointing to not only Stephen Kwan, but Andre Jimenez coming over in the Lindor trade, and thinking about where Will Brennan is at this point, Bo Naylor, obviously, a guy that is homegrown, and now what's coming. I think once you get Manzardo, DeLauder, you get perhaps a young Kenzie Noel, some of these other guys that really hit, guys, Jonathan Rodriguez. You wish that Valera was healthy so that he could be there too, because it's there. We just haven't had the opportunity to get him here yet, because a lot of organizations, the Guardians included, position player wise, you don't want that first big fail to happen at the big league level. You'd rather err on it on a developmental side in either AA or AAA to work through it, because once you get him there, and Kwani is a great example of it. Once you get him there, you don't want him to ever have to come back. I think you probably end up seeing that with Manzardo here in probably May, and then with DeLauder. I mean, it's coming, fellas. I know it's hard to be patient on it, but I think they've kind of found an answer key here in the last 4 to 5 years of the draft and the development side, and hopefully that comes to fruition as early as this season.
Happy to have Jensen Lewis with us breaking down the 2024 Guardians and their opener tonight. You can catch Jensen and Al Pawlowski tonight live pregame coverage at 9:30 on Bally Sports Great Lakes and streaming on ballysports.com all season long. And find Jensen on MLB Network as well. Jensen, the shortstop position, I want to get your thoughts. Nobody won it, from what I've been told. They gave it to Rocchio. Basically, somebody had to play it, so he had the better of the worst spring trainings, I guess. Nobody really took the bull by the horns. Your thoughts on Rocchio getting the nod there at shortstop and the balance of playing time, supposedly, over Gabriel Arias?
Yeah, with Rocchio, it's no question the defense is going to play, and he could have been here in the big leagues last year full-time with the way that he plays at shortstop. And now let's kind of see where the bat translates with consistent ABs, especially here in the month of April. I think it's pretty well documented with Gabe Arias there about the, and it is kind of mind boggling not being able to hit left-handed pitching, but kind of reared its ugly head yet again in camp, fellas. So we'll have to see where both those guys balance out. I know Voter really, really likes Rocchio and what he can bring to the table. Let's let it play, fellas. I think one thing that people need to remember, and it's just not turnkey with position players getting to the big leagues, it's hard to hit in our game, fellas. I mean, I marvel at it too now, just watching and going down to field level. Guys, I got to get in my car to get to 98, 100 miles an hour anymore. I mean, I can remember throwing 94, 95, but it feels like eons ago, and now you got guys rolling out of bed that are just throwing 96, 97. So to see where that has elevated and really increased the difficulty for hitters night in and night out. I talk about it a lot, with some of our former guys, position player wise, on MLB Network Radio, and they still marvel at some of the spin rates, some of the abilities that these guys are doing right now, and saying, I don't even know if I could play in our game today. So it's just a credit to those pitchers, and I say that with all due respect, because if I was a position guy looking down the barrel of what some of these guys have to go series in, series out, yeah, I'd be thinking twice about a profession here trying to make it in the show and stay there for a long time.
Jensen, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for making it for us here on the Kenny and JT Show and coming down every year to speak at the Hall of Fame Luncheon Club. Have a great season, and we'll pick your brain throughout the season at various times, all right?
Likewise, guys. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
There he is, Jensen Lewis. Check him out tonight on Bally Sports Great Lakes pregame, 9:30 there, 9:30 here on the radio, too. So if you can't watch him and watch the game on Bally's, listen to it here on WHBC.